As I said in our welcome, today we're beginning a new sermon series over the next few weeks called Check Yourself. You know, during the summer, I like to do a little fun sermons that, you know, just kind of enjoyable little things. And as I said, you know, there are a few things in life that annoy me. And most of those things that annoy me, I experience while at the grocery store. But I've also learned that those things that annoy me, if I take a step back and realize maybe I can learn something from those things which kind of bother me, those little pet peeves or those things that get on my nerves, maybe God actually can use some of that to teach me something about how to live better, or hopefully how to live in a more Christ-like way. So over the next few Sundays, together through the month of July, we're going to be walking through a couple of these things, these life lessons, which I think that we might learn from the grocery store. As we set that up, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to dig in to the book of Ephesians a little bit today as we walk through together. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, and as we come to your word, we pray that your spirit would help us to hear what it is you have to teach us today. Lord, speak through me, and if necessary, in spite of me, that we might all hear your word today. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen. There is a experience I had which, at the very beginning of the pandemic, a new store opened up in the area called Costco. Have any of you been to Costco? If not, it's like a Sam's, except a little more expensive. But it's new. So when something's new, you go and you try it out. Here's the thing. Costco became a lifesaver for my family because it opened the week before the pandemic started. And it was one of the few places in those early days that remained open. And the reason why it was a lifesaver for me was not because I could go buy stuff, but because I could go there and get away from the house. And it became a source of entertainment as I would walk through the Costco and kind of just people watch and see what the pandemic was doing to society through the lens of the aisles at Costco. Because early on, things were kind of still okay. People were nice. People were courteous. Now, sometimes I would chuckle to say, okay, I don't know exactly what that person's going to do with 7 pallets of toilet paper, but they got into that car. They did it. We were all the same team. We would kind of give encouragement to each other in the parking lot on the way in or out. We'd say, hey, word is there's going to be a shipment arriving at 3 p.m. this afternoon, right? Lysol's coming in, you know, like, all right, good. But then I began to notice, over time, people stopped being as nice. In fact, people started being a little bit more prickly, a little bit meaner, a little bit more angry. And over the weeks became months and then into years, I've noticed this trend has continued. That society just seems to be always on edge. That we all have our anger right about here. And just the slightest inconvenience will set it off. Just the slightest thing that doesn't go our way or holds us up or makes our life a little bit less convenient, we are willing to just kind of explode onto people. And that anger just seems to cascade onto anybody near us. In fact, I think it is one of the more enduring and lasting and unfortunate impacts of the pandemic that we still live with, which is that everyone just seems to be angry. And that we are willing to take that anger out on people that honestly maybe don't really deserve it. This is a true story. I saw it happen with my own eyes, what I'm about to tell you. It's not one of those preacher stories that you make up. I was at a pharmacy just a little while ago, and I won't tell which pharmacy. I don't want to give anybody a bad reputation. Let's just pretend that it rhymes with Tall Greens. And I was in line and inside, and the it was a long line, and you just have to wait sometimes, right? And the lady in front of me had been waiting and waiting and waiting, and she finally gets to the counter, and I'm right behind her, and they don't have her prescription. And I don't mean that it wasn't ready; they just did not have it in the system, and she was furious. Now, later, come to find out, after several minutes of screaming, that the doctor's office had called it into the wrong pharmacy. But that didn't satisfy her. She was going to make that cashier feel every ounce of anger that she had ever had over this. And she yelled, and she yelled some more, and she talked about that cashier and their family, and she knocked over a little display. I mean, she really showed out. This was impressive stuff, right? This had been building up for a while. And she finally storms off and leaves, and they're like, next. And I walk up, and I just say, hey, how often does that happen? And she said, oh, about once a day. Now, I think that this anger that seems to be just living with all of us, I understand the impact it's had on us individually and as a country, but also think that one of the things that we are called to as Christians is to deal with our anger differently than the world around us. In fact, you may have thought growing up as a Christian, if you grew up as a Christian, that you weren't supposed to be angry. What if I told you I've got good news this morning, that you are allowed as a Christian to be angry? In fact, you are even, in some ways, commanded to be angry. But that's not the end of the command. I want you to turn with me if you'd like to, or just listen to a reading from Ephesians. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, and this is in the fourth chapter. I'm going to read just a couple of verses right now, verses 26 and 27, in which Paul is teaching the Ephesians, I think, a very valuable and important lesson about what to do with our anger. He says this, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil." I kind of find some comfort and some challenge in the fact that Scripture commands us to be angry, but at the same time, not to sin. So what does it mean to be angry but not to sin? Well, if we understand what Paul has been doing in and through the first couple of chapters of the book of Ephesians, I think we understand a little bit more about Paul's vision for the Christian life. You see, all leading up to this passage, Paul has been trying to get the Christians in Ephesus to understand the reality of life in Christ, that something has changed or should change in your life once you become in Christ. That there's something about the transformation that takes place which should change the reality around you. We see this. Paul talks about how we were once, but now we are. So you see this throughout Ephesians. Paul is using this kind of once we were, but now we are kind of comparison and contrasting. You know, once we were slaves to our old self, now we are a new creation. Once we were dead, now we are alive. And he's using this comparing and contrasting our old ways of life to our new ways of life. We once identified with all of these markers that divided us, Gentile and Jew, slave or free. We once were, but now in Christ we are something different. There is a new reality. Therefore, Paul seems to think, we should act differently. We should be transformed. In Christ we have been clothed with the righteousness of God, and so we are now supposed to be different. But it doesn't change the fact that we still have all of our emotions. We are still the creatures that God created us to be. So then Paul in this chapter says, be angry, but do not sin in your anger. And I find that fascinating because I think what Paul is trying to get us to understand is that anger has its place, but anger also has its limits. Anger has a place, but it also has its limits. I think like every emotion that God created us to have, those emotions have their place, but they also have limits. Now, for instance, if you just kind of pick a random story in the Bible, you will often find an example of this. We see the prophets in the Old Testament, the prophets who are speaking a word of the Lord to the people. There are many times when they are very angry and they have very harsh words for the people. But we see that their anger comes from a place of righteous fury, right? Because the people have abandoned their covenant promises with God. They have wandered away. They have gotten lost to their own desires and devices and are finding themselves alienated from God's best promises for them. And some of the prophets want to shake them loose from their apathy. They can be quite angry sometimes. Probably the most famous story of this is Jesus himself. The story of when Jesus comes into the temple and finds the temple, this place of prayer, has been transformed into a marketplace where people are selling animals at a high price to get them to buy them for the sacrifices. They're changing money and charging exorbitant fees. They're turning what should be a place of worship and prayer into a place of commerce and greed. And Jesus, in his anger, famously flips over the tables and picks up the whip and drives them out. Anger has its place. But anger also has a limit in that, in all of those situations, the anger was focused on the actual problem. The anger was focused on the ones who actually had responsibility for what was happening. The anger is limited in that it is focused and not simply widespread. And here's what I think is the challenge. I see almost every day. Maybe it's because we have cameras. We carry cameras around all the time now on our phones so we can see it more often. It may have been happening before then. But I have a sneaking suspicion that what we see is the rise of the sin of misplaced anger. The sin of misplaced anger. That's why the life lesson I want us to learn today is to take away this. Stop yelling at the cashier. Okay? Stop yelling at the cashier. If we could just do that one thing, it would make our shopping experience a little bit easier, a little bit better. But I think it also would help us to understand what this sin of the misplaced anger really is. Because here's the thing. That cashier, more than likely, is not the owner of the store. Did you know that? They don't own Kroger. That cashier is probably not the person who set the prices of the goods that day. That cashier is probably not the person who's in charge of ordering. That person is probably not the creator of the supply chain crisis. they are probably not the person in charge of setting the schedule or in charge of hiring. They showed up to work that day to check you out. And I know some of you even don't like the self-checkout, but that's another sermon for another day. If you're mad at that cashier, it's you. The reason why I don't want you to yell at the cashier is because they are not responsible for all of the anger that you have, even if it is righteous and justified anger. When we misplace our anger, that is what sin is. When we take out all of our anger and frustration on a person who doesn't deserve it, who's not responsible for it, all we are doing is just hurting someone to make us feel better for a moment. And that's not Christ-like. Stop yelling at the cashier, because that cashier also stands in for all the other times and places and people that we misplace our anger to. Like when we bring home our frustration from work. We're angry at something that happened. Do we find ourselves taking out that anger on the first person we see walking through the door? Maybe we're angry or disappointed with our boss, and so we take it out on our coworkers, our friends that we're supposed to be working together with, and our anger just flows out over them because they're just the convenient people in our way. Or do you take your anger out on yourself? Are you angry at yourself for a mistake that you made, or a dream or goal that you've had that you've not yet been able to find fulfillment in? Do you blame others? Do you blame yourself? Do you just walk around with all of that anger weighing you down? See, friends, I think that one of the most beautiful gifts that Jesus offers that we often refuse is His willingness to take our anger, to take our guilt and our shame, our anxiety and our fear, to take all of it and to forgive us. Maybe what we need to do is not just stop yelling at the cashier, although I think that's still good advice, but then begin to understand that when we give up that anger, we are then freed to live a life that actually can make a difference in the world. Now, some of you out there may be saying, yes, but Ricky, what if they are really wrong? What if that person actually really does need to be corrected? What if they have made a mistake, and if I don't say anything about it, I'm just participating in their mistake? Or what if somebody, God forbid, is wrong on the internet and they need to be corrected? Shouldn't Christians speak truth? Absolutely. And I've got even better news. Paul, in this very same chapter, gives us a template for how to tell the truth in a loving Christian way. Because right here in this passage, he has said, be angry. Yeah, be angry. Righteous anger has a place. But don't sin. He says this then in verse 29, just two verses later. He says this, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. I want to say that again. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace. You know Paul's a good preacher because basically he has three points right there, right? Don't be angry. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let evil talk. Instead, do this. Run what you're about to say through these three filters. Is it useful? Is it needful? And is it graceful? What you're about to say, is it useful for building up? Is there a need for it? And can you say it with grace that they might hear? You can speak truth. You need to speak truth. But only if it's useful. Only if it's needful. And if you can't say it gracefully, just like my grandmother, right? Don't say it at all. I think Paul wants us to be bold. He wants us to be truthful. But he wants us to do it in a way that reflects the God that we love and serve and the Christ that dwells within us. So yes, we can be angry. But stop yelling at the cashier. Because that is not useful. They don't need it. And it's certainly not graceful. Sometimes that means you have to keep your mouth shut. And sometimes that, I think, that's exactly what we need to do. And in the ways in which you can find the moments to speak a word of truth that is useful and is needful and is graceful, when you do that well, people will listen. But if you have spent your entire life just yelling at people, well, then they'll never listen to you. So what if we did an experiment here in Clinton this next week? What if all of you here, all of you watching and listening, what if you promise this week, I'm just going to try it, I'm going to run everything I'm about to say through the simple three-step Paul-approved process. Is what I'm about to say useful? Is it needful? And can I say it gracefully? If not, I won't say it. Just for a week. You can make up for lost time yelling next week. But just try it. I'm willing to bet you will actually feel a bit better. At the very least, you won't be sinning in your anger. And that's worth something. Because I really do believe that Christians are supposed to look and act differently in the world. Not to show that we're better, but to show that Christ and His promises are true. That we don't have to be angry all the time. We don't have to be captured to sin. That we can indeed speak truth, but to do it in a way that builds up rather than tear down. At the very least, you really will get better service at the store, I promise. So let's stop yelling just for this week. When we get back together next week, we'll check in on how we're doing. How about that? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for all of the blessings that you give us and grateful for the opportunity to gather around your word. And Lord, we confess that there are times when we are angry, where things have hurt us, where we have felt taken advantage of or ignored, where we have been hurt. And Lord, we confess that oftentimes in our anger, we take it out on other people. People that don't deserve it. And sometimes even people that do deserve it. But Lord, we know that's not the way that you want us to live. So help us to understand how to be your people. People that offer words that are useful and needful and graceful. That others might be compelled by the way they see us live and want to know how and why. and maybe even how they can be a part of it. Let us share your love in this world, that for those who are captured by their anger, will find in you someone that they can trust not only with their anger, but trust with their whole life. All this we ask in your precious and holy name. Amen.